So if you haven't been welcomed already, welcome to the Whole Life Expo 2019. My name is Courtney, and it's my pleasure to be here to introduce our next guest speaker, this incredible woman, Dr. Erica Miller. And I just want to let everyone know that these lectures are being recorded. There's an audio version that's available if anyone's interested in either having a copy of this lecture or all of the other lectures in the other halls just outside at the booth there. So you're welcome to go and check that out. Dr. Erica Miller is an international best-selling author, inspirational speaker, mental health practitioner, with a PhD in clinical psychology. She's an entrepreneur and Holocaust survivor. In each of her books, which you can see here, displayed and will be available also afterwards, the Dr. Erica Miller story, From Trauma to Triumph, Don't Tell Me I Can Do It, and her most recent Chronologically Gifted, Aging with Gusto. She inspires people with her charisma, enthusiasm for life, and her belief in what's possible. Dr. Miller is 85 years old, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, she has a birthday coming up. I don't know if you want everyone knowing that, but you could probably also go and wish her a happy birthday afterwards at Booth 40. She has more energy than people half her age. This, in spite of the horrors and cruelty, hardship, and degradation she experienced as a child during World War II. Rather than living her life as a victim, she developed the ability to face and overcome obstacles that would daunt most of us. Dr. Miller's passion for life and her undeniable spark blend seamlessly with the wisdom that she has gained throughout her life. As you will hear, the outcome is truly unforgettable encounter, full of life lessons and experiences of authentic and captivating accounts of her life, filled with guts, grits, and gusto. If everyone can please help me in welcoming this wonderful woman, Dr. Erica Miller.
Thank you. No, I don't have any books.
No, okay.
Did you bring any?
Oh, no, okay. They can find them in that.
This young lady, she misspoke. I don't have any books to sell. If you want to buy me and read me, you'll have to go on Amazon and buy me. You don't have to, because you're going to hear everything tonight. Is it tonight yet? No, it's afternoon. All right. I am a storyteller, and I only have about 40 minutes. So I'm going to be, I'll go front and back, because I'm here to talk about my latest book, international bestseller. That's crazy. 3 weeks ago, I was in Ireland. Now I'm here. I live in Los Angeles and Austin, Texas. I'm very lucky. Some people are homeless, and I have two homes. So life journey, the life has been very generous to me. And I'm here to share with you, but it's really not about me. It's about you. If you read, anybody here read my book? Not yet, or maybe never. But you are here because there are other places to go, but you're here. And mere fact that you're here says something about you, because I'm not projecting. I am in the process of evolving forever. Age is a number, and I will not be told how to live it. I will search for new knowledge forever till I check out at the ripe old age of 123. Why 123? Because there was a woman in France, her name was Benet, something like that. You could check it out on the Google. She lived till 122 in 64 days. So if she lived till 122 in 64 days, I can live till 123 and be in the Book of Guinness. Okay? So if I say I'm in the process of evolving forever, I'm the professor today, and you're my students, but guess what? Very often, I sit where you are, and I listen to a professor or not, because the curiosity keeps me going. And compliment yourself. You know, make nice to yourself. Hug yourself, because you are here in quest of knowledge. Because what we do with it is by choice. But to me, mere fact that you're here, you are in the process of evolving. You will never, ever just sit and wait to die. Now, the research are made, I will tell you because this is the subject matter, but before I give you some hints how you can live long like me, I have to start from the beginning. Why was I motivated to speak about AIDS and all AIDS and living long? Well, the motivation was that I was told when I was 7 years old, messages that Jewish little girl, dirty little girl, you have no right to live. And I couldn't comprehend. To me, life was, I wasn't dirty. What does it mean to be Jewish? And for 4 years, I had a normal life till 7 years, whatever normal means, a family, mama, papa, a sister, older sister and me, with cousins, in Bukovina, in Chernowitz. It was Austria, Romania, and then it was Russia, and now it's Ukraine. So in 1940 on, I know there was mayhem. I did not know what's happening. We had to hid in the attic, in Iran, whatever. I make it short. Story is that we went to the cattle trains. Yes?
Excuse me, could you speak a little louder?
Louder. Huh. All right. Is it something to do with the microphone? Which is the microphone? Oh. All right. Hey, I'm little but mighty. Phew. All right. Here. I will, because I want everybody to hear me. Are you kidding me? So, yeah. So, we went for 4 years. And I'm going to keep it very short summary so I can come and talk about the book that I lately wrote, and you're here to listen to me, How to Live Long and Well. 4 years we were in a holding camp in Ukraine. It was a German-Romanian Nazi camp. It was a holding camp, and people died from starvation and from typhoid. They were not quick enough to take us to the oven to burn us, because the Russians came and liberated us. So, I was traumatized. How do I know? Because I remember very little things from the camp. 4 years is a long time, from 7 to 11, but I remember flashes that affected me till today. I looked out the window, I was a curious little kid. I asked questions and nobody answered. Don't ask so many questions. I couldn't talk, I didn't have a voice. My mother kept to be careful because you might initiate something that people are going to catch you and kill you. But I looked out the window and I saw all those dead people being picked up every morning by some guards or Jewish guards. And I looked at those dead people and they looked so ugly. In my conversation with myself, I remember those hotspots. Maybe tomorrow I will be dead, but I don't want to die ugly. I want to pose just before I die, okay? So that impetus, but to look the best and be the best, and don't tell me I cannot do it, this is my middle book, I was absolutely upper lip. So then we were liberated, back to Romania, and then we ended up, when we could get out of Romania, to then Israel already. Israel became a state in 1948. I came there in 1949, and it was an amazing to me to be a part of the majority and feel safe, quote unquote, because Romania was mainly Catholic. I never went to school when I was in fifth grade when I came back, but I didn't feel safe. Not any longer. I figured out that Jesus was my cousin. I knew him before anybody else, the Christian did. So I'm fine right now. But the point being, in Israel, being in the Air Force, going to high school at night when girls didn't used to do that. So my counterphobia, I'm fearless. Because again, I survived. And don't tell me I cannot do it. Here I was married. I happened to come and visit my sister in Los Angeles. And destiny had it that I met. I was an old maid of 24 years old. I thought I would live in Israel forever. They need us. But then destiny had it, and I went along. And I was married with this. He had everything. He was tall, because I'm so short. He had it to be tall, one of these things. So when we had two kids, my son John went to first grade. I went back to graduate school. 8 years later, I had my PhD. I needed to heal. That contorted woman that was in the same little group of 20 people, she was all alone, lost her family. She works with me all the time. And I knew the day will come in Israel. The only medical school was in Jerusalem, couldn't afford it. But it was part of me. So I'm telling you, before you can make anything happen, you have to have a vision. I always saw me being a healer. I'm very detached and all that. So nobody wanted me to go to graduate school 8 years with a husband and kids. But you couldn't stop me. So coming back now to watch this book, I was intrigued. I never thought I would live long enough. When I got married, I had a kid. I never thought I would see them get older. I always felt that death was around me. Not in a bad way. I mean, you know, I'm in the moment, I was detached. But meaning to life, the adventure, the wanting to live forever was always part of me. So when the time was right, I wrote this book. It was a reason too, why did I write it? I wanted my kids and grandkids to know that I am not beaten down like my sister was. She was a few years older. It's like I'm not a victim. I'm a striver, and I do, as a grown-up, as an adult, I make choices. And then this little book, again, says about me. Don't tell me I cannot do it. So being motivated to see, to research, how long can I be on this earth? Because I want to live forever. Meaning to life is death. And so the past is gone, the future may be. But being in the moment is so important. So guess what? I started researching all over the world. And believe me, you do or not, it's not fake news. You can check it out on Google. My research with the zones, what it takes to live not just long, but living well, really important. And they are, us, those that are here, are the fastest growing population in the world. They're not a centenarian, 100 plus, but super centenarian. By the way, it was given away. A girl is not supposed to give her age, but the word is out. I'm 85. Tomorrow I'll be 86. Guess what? Right. Anybody older than me here? Come on. If I can share it, so can you. Okay, nobody. Nobody 80 after 80. How about, how old?
81.
81, okay. It's so weird for me. I cannot put my arms around me, I'll be 86. I see me 96 still being the same. So here we have somebody 81. Now, as far on the other aspect, anybody under 20? 20 and above, I mean 30? Okay, 40? Anybody? No. You. Okay. So we are speaking between 40 and 80. So this book, in my research, is really relevant to all of us here. Because not my story, this is my story, but literally what I have learned, I put it all together. So you don't have to, I think a year and a half or 2 years it took me to put it all together. It's information plus little inspiration, some like to journal, because if I can do it, so can you. And I can tell you that most of the things in the book, you probably know. It is about, you know, eating well and exercising and community service and faith. And it's like all of those things together. But the biggest part is to be aware that the life choices we make are about 75% of whether we are going to live long and well. The 25% or so is genetic, and we are not our genes. So there is free will, and it's never too late to start. And all the things that you know already, or maybe some things a little bit not. And the rest is destiny. So when I say I'm a control freak, I'm in charge, I make decisions for myself, but then there's a little bit like destiny too. So you surrender to destiny. So we are, I just, because the information is coming out is very relevant, because we ask the people that are 110, they're still open, you know, in Middle East or in Costa Rica or in Japan, they are engaged in life. And that's what, because when we do, we are kind. And that is my, it's a natural thing for me. I'm so lucky to be alive. That is the main thing. The story of my life and my guts and zest and all that is based on, I'm still here. And among the mantra, we have a website and I'm videos and priests, whatever. It is life, when you think about it, life takes guts, grit, and gusto. Well, guts means courage. It's a challenge, but don't get stuck, you can do it. Grit is perseverance. In order to get to do something that you want, first of all, you have the vision, and then in order to make it happen, you have to persevere. It's very easy to quit. And gusto is gratitude, love to be alive. Because we're speaking about life is an amazing journey. And it is like, you know what, to me, it stops too soon. So I like to be out there with you and share my information just a little bit. So you can believe that if somebody else can do it, so can you at any age. When I go to the gym 5 times a week when I'm home, I've been doing it for 40 years. I didn't know it's good for you, but I'm a little bit hyper, as you can see. So to me, oxygen to the brain, I don't do yoga, although yoga is probably good for me, but I'm too hyper for that. I've been pescatarian for about, you know, the same time also, and I'm very mindful, but I am also challenged. I'm an adventurer. I will never retire. I will never stop. I ran 10 mental health clinics. I'm an author. I travel all over the place. So we are speaking about the attractiveness of me. I don't mean physically. Is that I'm positive. That young people are around me all the time. They search me out. Young people's group. My kids' friends come to consult with me. Is that I am here. If I can do it, so can you. It's very seductive to me. They want to grow old like me. I mean, how seductive is it? So more I speak, more I inspire. I do know for a fact that I reach and inspire some people, because it's very sad to see that so many, at least my generation, most of my peers, they're either dead or they're in retirement places. Nothing wrong in retirement places, but it's almost like shutting down. And the information is out there right now. It's coming around that aging is not, you know, it's not, you know, it's not when you're 50 or 60. So when my son, I used to say, I want to live to 120. I did not know about 123 yet. And he says, he's 52 or something. He says, Mother, who wants to live so long? You know, somebody is 81, you can relate to that. But no, look at me. If I can do it, so can you. And it's possible because look at Google. This is not fake news. Centenarian, super centenarian. There were 450,000 in the world. And not all are demented, not very few. The age, a certain age, you know, is more likely, but not so. Those that live long and well are those that are engaged in life, and they are positive. They're able to be positive. Not everybody can. And I am guiding you. I beg of you, listen to my accented voice. Keep away from negative people, all right? Because it drags you down. If it's your family, this is a whole different story. You have to learn how to navigate if it's a family member. But it's like, yeah, we are what we think we are. And I'm not in La La Land. But attitude means a lot. And failure, there's no such thing. I grew up in the formative years in Israel. In the Israelis, anybody here, how many were in Israel so far? Come on. Okay, 2, 3, 4. Hey, you're young. It could be a bullet point where to go. Those are amazing, amazing people. There's no failure. Even the cartoonists for little children, little Moishe, he falls down, he picks himself up. Somebody kicks you, you kick back. So with an attitude that there's no failure, you start something, and if it does not work out, you start something else. So all the regrets of yesterday, I should have, I could have, it's such a literally a waste of energy, and stress is the one that shortens our life. So negativity, keep away from it. Engage in something new. Anytime you do anything novel, anything new, it doesn't have to be climbing Mount Everest like I did. I'm a little bit not normal. About 6 months ago, 2 years ago, I went Machu Picchu, Inca Trail, 11,000 feet with those youngins. I was the oldest, right? And then I thought, if I can do 11,000 feet, guess what? Mount Everest, the National Geographic, it's only 7,000 feet more, 17,000 feet. All right? So I had to prove I am fearless. I had to prove I can do it if it's doable. And I did not know whether I could. I cannot believe me that I actually climbed up. And the biggest thing, because we are all little children at heart, we want to be affirmed. Look, Mom, no cavities, all right? So when the end of the trip, we went to Himalayan Mountain, you know, in India and all these kind of places. And by the way, I became Buddha too. Now I'm Jewish and Christian and Buddha, all right? They said the meeting, the goodbyes, and somebody said, the trip was amazing, but without Dr. Mill or Erica, who knows how they called me, it would never have been the same, because I'm a good example. You do what you can do, and don't define yourself by age, and don't listen to the naysayers. So the same thing, and I don't brag, I just share. Believe me, I'm not a bragger, but I have to share with you because it makes me feel smiley, hey, and smiling is a good thing. Come on, smile. Okay, laugh. I went with my granddaughter, one of my granddaughters, Talia. She graduated from Ahai Abakai in the States, and she and her friend wanted to go with me on a trip. I mean, pretty cool to want to go with a grandmother. They call me Babi, Babushka, old lady. So here we were in Auckland, and Talia says, Bobby, I'm going to go and jump out of a plane. So Shana, her friend, says, I'm not doing it. And it took me a second and said to her, okay, if you do it, I'm going to go and jump out of a plane too. She absolutely, no, you cannot do it. I won't let you, whatever. I said, Talia, if you can do it, I can do it. And if the parachute doesn't open, what a way to exit the world, and it won't be your fault. So I do not advocate, I don't, for you to do whatever, but my point is adventure, having fun, laughing, being mindful of what we need. It's all in the book. I don't need to, in the summary, you probably know most of it, but just, and I know I cannot inspire everybody, but mere fact that you are here, and you're listening to me, I know I will read some, so that you can say, okay, I close one chapter, I open another one. I have a little bit more time now, what else can I do? So it's like anything new, our neurons are celebrating, and they're firing whenever we are engaging. My publicist and my friend Jerry, she travels with me, everybody should have somebody like her. I mean, I engage the waiters. What is your name? I get the best service because they're human beings. I do it for them. I do it for me because I feel so alive. I feel so grateful. I like to touch people's life, and I'm not an enabler. So my point being is any little new, anything new, and not allow other people to tell you how you should live your life. Do you hear me? Yes. Say yes. I have a voice, and I will haunt you if you're not going to live your life with passion. Do you hear me? Yes. So, yeah, because it's so short. Yeah, who wants to live so long? Yeah, you want to live healthily, and now you might not be able to do, forever what you're doing today, but it doesn't matter. But having a reason to get up in the morning, passion and purpose, just being lucky to be alive. Guess what? I was married for 53 years, all right? Good guy, partnership, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. He died 6 years ago. So sorry, still sitting on this chair next to me, okay? Big house all by myself. I'm so glad I'm still here, but no regrets. 6 years is a long time. Guess what? I'm putting out the word to the universe. I would love to love again. Are you kidding me? I have so much energy and passion, but there would need to be somebody that has my energy and the will and the money to travel and to be alive. Well, again, maybe there's somebody 90, maybe there's somebody 50. I don't care. And guess what? I am open. We all have to be open to the opportunity, whether it's business or relationship. And we are so grateful like me. I'm so picky. I don't need this. I don't need that. But again, open for life adventure, because we're speaking. It's like, I don't know about hereafter. I hope you do. I hope you have faith and you know exactly. And it's too much for me. I'm not Einstein. But even Einstein said that, you know what, there must be something greater than us. Look at the universe. Look at the tsetse flies. They're all interacting. Nothing stays the same. If you want peace and quiet, whatever, that's death. Other than that, everything is changing, and we are part of it. Or if we are not aware of it, we need to be. And that is my voice. That is my, I feel that I'm relevant, because I might, when you go home, you might just say, yeah, maybe she was right in that. Maybe she was, no, done that. But something novel, something new. And just be grateful where you are in this place, of your life right now. And the past is gone. Very many people are stuck. I beg of you. The past is gone. The future, we don't know, but we have to see future. We have to see images and, you know, journeys, what we want. And then how can we make it happen? But the moment we have, in the moment. So when I lectured, one of my grandsons, he's at USC in Los Angeles. He has a dual degree, MBA in law, whatever. So here he says to me one day, it was just a few months ago, Bobby, would you come and lecture in front of my school, my professors, in this big, you know? I said, are you sure? And he says, yeah, I would like to. And I'm not nervous, look at me. I'm not sweating, but I'm not in the gym. But again, I'm spontaneous. I go all over the place, but I'm very secure. But again, I was a little bit nervous, because after all, he was my grandson. And what will his friends think if I do not do the right, you know, the right message? Who knows? I can only tell you that after it was over, they lined up, all wanted a selfie with me, and they hugged me, and the professor came over, and I said, I think I did good. I looked at him, and I said to him, I was nervous, Andrew. He says, I was nervous too, Bobby. And then at nighttime, he called me, Bobby, my friends loved you. I said, what did they like about? Why? So he says, you know, you are so informative, relevant, and whimsical. And I said, I like, never mind relevant, informative. I like the whimsical. And what I did with them, because they're stress cases. Are you kidding me? Graduate school, the stress they have. Their telomeres from the chromosome are shortening. They're so stressed out. And me saying, hey, guess what? Young people die too. You're lucky to be here. Number one, you must be smart. Number two, somebody has to pick up the bill to pay for that. And you will someday, you will be a really do good. You'll put the bad people in jail, and you will uplift the beaten down ones. But there is a not getting there. It's not the end. It's getting there. It's an excitement of the process to be aware that it's not just, you will never get there. How many millions do you have to do to feel a millionaire? How much getting there? Appreciate your moment in life. Appreciate your surroundings. And you know that you will never not continue evolve in being relevant to society. So yeah, so those are examples. And I'm going to be told when I have, because I can go on forever. How am I doing? How much time do I have?
15 minutes.
Okay, now, because I'm a storyteller, I can go on forever. So I would very much like if you have the guts, grit, and gusto to ask me anything you want, because nothing is off the table. Because again, I've seen it, I've heard not just my life, and I say I'm pretty wise, and yeah, I don't brag again, I share. It's also the hundreds of couples and people that I mentored that were in my practice that I saw over the years. Nothing would surprise me. The ugliness and the kindness of people, which even I experience. So when I speak, by the way, tonight I'm going to be in one church and tomorrow in another church. And the last church I talked to, because the Jewish temples have heard people like me. There's not many people left like me, but there still are, but churches. So I am asked, how do you feel about Germans? And my response is always the same. How do I feel about Jews? There are some good ones and some bad ones. I don't blame the sons for the sins of the fathers. So it's like, yeah, there was a kindness in the camp. There was this big bad wolf guard, German guard, big tall guard. And because I was a curious little kid, my mama said, don't you go there and check, don't you go close. Guess what? I had to check him out. And I snuck there to the gate, and suddenly he turned around. He grabbed me. What are you doing here? Okay, now my mama was right. He'll kill me. And then he said, what's your name? So I say, Erica. And so, believe me or not, it's up to you. I have no need to embellish. His tough, angry face softened up, and it's like imbranded. That is trauma, good or bad. He said, I have a little girl at home. Her name is Erica as well. And he sang me that song. Auf der Heide blümt ein kleines Blümelein und es heißt Erica. On the meadow, there's a little flower, wild flower. I used to have red hair, purple hair, a red flower. And then once he did that, in a heartbeat, he turned around and he grabbed me. Go away, this is not a place for little girls. That is a memory I have. So I kind of got up and then I looked quickly and he threw me a candy bar. And guess what? A love affair started with that kind of the brutality and the kindness of people. So in my clinics, most of them, we worked with the courts, domestic violence, anger management, because we are speaking about this life is hope. And there are many layers to all of us. So yeah, it's not just the brutality, it's the kindness of people as well, which I experienced over the years. And to this day, I'm very touched. I'm very detached, which is good for me. So when patients come to me, I know their problem, not mine. So I don't have to say you'll be okay or whatever. But when somebody does something kind, then tears running. The last time I remember that is when my husband died. I don't know what I am. I don't know what it means to be Jewish. Very weird people. I am so Jewish traditionally, but I don't know about the God. So my daughter says, Mother, you're alone now. The temple is close by. Friday night, you should go there. I'll go with you every Friday night forever. And then I went two times. I don't know anybody. And one night, Friday night, she flaked out. Mother, I'm so sorry. I cannot go with you. You can go alone. So I think, alone? I don't know anybody. And then I say, I'm not this little girl. I can go by myself. And here I sit in the front, close to the podium. And in the back, so I sit all alone, not even looking anywhere. So here, somebody knocks at my door. This woman says, it looks like you're alone. How come? Come and sit next to me and my husband. Okay? So the last time I was in front of a school, 700 kids in Texas, they learned about bullying and the Holocaust, you know, whatever. And they asked me to in a big auditorium, you know, to kind of like a rock star, around and around and around. So me saying to them, you know what? We are our brothers and sisters' keeper. If you see somebody bullied, you have to just take a stand. And it's absolutely, do you hear me? Because we need each other. And then I didn't tell them, but I don't know, anybody heard about Elie Wiesel? Oh, he was an historian, Holocaust survivor. I heard him speak once at the university in Texas. He says, the worst of human condition is apathy, to look the other way. And I understand what fear is all about. But my word is, you know, part of Tikkun Olam, part of repairing the world. There's more good than bad. We hear more the bad news and the fake news. And yeah, I know, it's almost over. Oh, forgive me. Anybody has a question? Yes?
So, like, revive, like, like really brings me to life. So this is very nice. I was just curious about when you were a little girl, what were the characteristics of your personality that made who you are so optimistic and such a nice energy?
I cannot take credit for the part of DNA of the optimism. But I still am a curious little kid. I just, in those days, I always asked questions. Why? Don't ask so many questions. So again, and always living life a la me, outside the box. Don't tell me I cannot do it. So when I came, I must tell you this story to 5 minutes right away. Okay, so here I come back to Romania. First time in my life, fifth grade. Somebody had to teach me write and read and in physics, because here I sit in this room, fifth grade, the first time I look around, everybody crosses themselves, and do I see anybody that doesn't? I didn't. So here, this very stern professor, she's called teacher, she looked like a teacher, like I thought at those times, with a ponytail, with a big stick, and she asked, it was Newton's law of gravity, who knows something? I knew the answer. And I said, okay, do I go, not brag, but share, do I tell her I know? But do I want to be attacked by the others to show them? But they need for me to be outside. I can do it. Don't tell I can do it. So I went and I did the formula. So she with the stick looked at me and she looked to the class. Look at you guys. She barely speaks the language, Romanian, because my mother tongue was German. What's the matter with you? Okay, I had to do what I had to do. In Israel, learning was not the thing. It's building the country. It was 1949. I had to go, the curiosity. So at nighttime, I went to high school. None of my girlfriends did. And during the day, I had 2 or 3 jobs. And then when you're 17 and a half in Israel, you know what? You have to go to the army, to the Air Force. Not only the boys, the girls too. But you don't go if you get married or if you say you're Orthodox. Well, I would not lie. I'm not Orthodox. And no, I don't need a man, okay? So here I enrolled, and I went to the Air Force. And what stories, okay? But my parents were very worried about me. I will not find a husband. I'm too smart. So I am who I am because of it. And I saw my sister, 5 years older. She was crying. And she was wailing. I had to be strong for Mama. So, yeah, that kind of fearlessness and that kind of, you know, don't tell me outside the box. Why should anybody else know better what is good for me? So as grown-ups, we make choices, but tradition is very strong. We are told we should do this and should do that. It's not all bad, but we are, as grown-ups, we can switch, we can do, and not allow ourselves to be handicapped by those irrational fears. You heard about fight and flight? It's part of DNA, but we're not in the bush, we're not our ancestors. The other tribes are not going to come and take us over, and the wolves are not going to eat us up. But automatically, we're so afraid, and sometimes we're stuck. So I know I answered you more. Yeah? 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 Who? Somebody wants to ask me something?
How do you stay so positive? Like, you must be challenging.
You know what? And I am not in La La Land. I'm so positive because I'm so lucky to be alive. I'm just, attitude has a lot to do. But again, obviously I had a little bit help. And I do know that we can be inspired, because the plasticity of our brain is such, if we decide to stop zeroing in the negative, if we would different behavior, just like a muscle, I have big muscles, you keep on doing it till you're fit. The same thing, we can change our behavior, we can change our thoughts, processes, if we decide to, it's work, so it's building the muscle. So my point is, negativity drags us down, and we can learn when we catch ourselves in the act of either being negative or fearful or judging or this or that or age, then we just, here I go again. I promised myself I want to be positive, meaning it's not the end of the world yet. Why am I here? Why am I not? I don't care. But in order to live well and long by being positive, it just helps. And you attract people. You're part of a community. And yeah, I'm a little bit hyper. Can you tell? But again, that helps. But again, I'm speaking of attitude. I don't know, again, some of it is DNA, but the other ones, I'm so lucky. The refrain of the song of my life is, I'm so lucky to be alive, because life is an amazing journey. And we are the captain of our boat. Just remember, nobody else, you can ask opinions. I have professionals, ask me. But other than that, you're all alone. You're not. You're part of a community, hopefully. You have a partner. If not, get one. I'm looking. So, but again, we're speaking about, it's an amazing, unpredictable journey. Even if it's not, everything is not positive. You embrace it all. Do you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Now, I cannot resist. Go ahead, make fun of me. I love it. I don't care. I don't talk too much. My time is already up. Because my birthday, I'll be 86 on Sunday. Is it tomorrow? I want you to sing happy birthday for me. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Dr. Miller, living long, lives 123.
Happy birthday to you.
And one more thing before I let you go. Wait, wait. One more on my thing, okay. You must hear me. You must hear me and put it in your brain. Life, your life, is to be lived with guts, grit, and gusto. And if you think it, you can, you can. And guts is 3 G's. This is one of my mantra. Never mind jumping out of a plane. Never mind, okay? But guts, grit, 3 G's. Guts, grit, and gusto. Gusto. Say it. I can do it.
I can do it.
If I can do it, so can you.
I can do it, so can you.
And my blessing, my children. Okay.